As expected this past week in the Wyoming primary elections, Representative Liz Cheney lost to and Donald Trump endorsed Harriet Hageman by a wide margin, as most expected as well. In case you're wondering, Donald Trump did have a reaction to this result. This is what he posted on Truth Social Media, quoting, "Liz Cheney should be ashamed of herself. The way she acted and her spiteful, sanctimonious words and actions toward others," meaning him specifically. "Now she can finally disappear into the depths of political oblivion, where I am sure she will be much happier than she is right now. Thank you, Wyoming." Surprise. What was his word? Political oblivion. That's where Trump and others believe Liz Cheney is headed. Cheney's own words declare something very different. Here she is this past Tuesday during her concession speech.
"Our duty as citizens of this republic is not only to defend the freedom that's been handed down to us. We also have an obligation to learn from the actions of those who came before, to know the stories of grit and perseverance of the brave men and women who built and saved this union. In the lives of these great Americans, we find inspiration and purpose. In May of 1864, after years of war and a string of reluctant Union generals, Ulysses S. Grant met General Lee's forces at the Battle of the Wilderness. In 2 days of heavy fighting, the Union suffered over 17,000 casualties. At the end of that battle, General Grant faced a choice. Most assumed he would do what previous Union generals had done and retreat. On the evening of May 7th, Grant began to move. As the fires of the battle still smoldered, Grant rode to the head of the column. He rode to the intersection of Brock Road and Orange Plank Road. And there, as the men of his army watched and waited, instead of turning north back towards Washington and safety, Grant turned his horse south toward Richmond and the heart of Lee's army. Refusing to retreat, he pressed on to victory. Lincoln and Grant and all who fought in our nation's tragic Civil War, including my own great-great-grandfathers, saved our Union. Their courage saved freedom. And if we listen closely, they are speaking to us down the generations. We must not idly squander what so many have fought and died for. America has meant so much to so many because we are the best hope of freedom on earth. Last week in Laramie, a gentleman came up to me with tears in his eyes. "I'm not an American," he said, "but my children are. I grew up in Brazil. I know how fragile freedom is, and we must not lose it here." A few days ago here in Jackson, a woman told me that her grandparents had survived Auschwitz. They found refuge in America. She said she was afraid that she had nowhere to go if freedom died here. Ladies and gentlemen, freedom must not, cannot, and will not die here. We must be very clear-eyed about the threat we face and about what is required to defeat it. I have said since January 6th that I will do whatever it takes to ensure Donald Trump is never again anywhere near the Oval Office, and I mean it. This is a fight for all of us together. I'm a conservative Republican. I believe deeply in the principles and the ideals on which my party was founded. I love its history, and I love what our party has stood for. But I love my country more. So I ask you tonight to join me. As we leave here, let us resolve that we will stand together, Republicans, Democrats, and independents, against those who would destroy our republic. They are angry and they are determined, but they have not seen anything like the power of Americans united in defense of our Constitution and committed to the cause of freedom. There is no greater power on this earth, and with God's help, we will prevail.
Doesn't exactly sound like a surrender or a retreat, does it? Cheney, in an interview a couple of days later, flat out said that she is considering a run for president in 2024. Now, is she going for the win? No. She would get into the race to ensure that Trump would lose. Question becomes, is that a realistic plan? Having talked with and listened to a variety of people, I feel pretty secure in saying that among Republican voters, Trump has about 35% of them locked in as his base. They'll never leave him no matter what happens. I'm also of the belief now that if she ran in 2024, Liz Cheney would have the support of around 30% of GOP voters. So that leaves, do the math for you, 35% up for grabs who are looking for someone else, like, oh, let's just say Ron DeSantis, who, if he ran, by the way, he'd also pull from Trump's 35%, to be sure. Is DeSantis really thinking about running for president in 2024? Well, if emails are any clue, judging by the number of email pitches his organization is sending, at least two a day that I get, he's at least at the starting line waiting for the green flag to wave. Now, going back to Liz Cheney, her opponent, Harriet Hageman, was on Sean Hannity's show, whining that while Liz Cheney called her Tuesday night, she didn't concede.
She called and left a very brief 2-second message on my cell phone. That's the extent of it. And all she said was, hello, Harriet, and then that was the end of it. So she didn't call and discuss with me any kind of concession or anything else.
She just said, hello, Harriet, and then hung up?
That was the end of the call, yes.
The response by Cheney? She released a recording of the call she made.
Hi, Harriet. Liz Cheney calling. It's about 8:13 on Tuesday the 16th. I'm calling to concede the election and to congratulate you on the win. Thanks.
Whoops. Yeah, Hageman's off to a great start, isn't she?